Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Exodus chapter 23 and in verse 25, the Lord said that you shall serve the Lord, your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. Notice that again. He says, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless. Everybody say bless. Bless your bread and your water, and I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. Notice that again, that the blessing is the absence or the taking away of sickness. There's no sickness in the blessing. So does God want you cursed or blessed? So does God want you healthy or sickly? Huh? He wants you healthy. He wants you free of sickness, because that's what being blessed is. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. He says in verse 15. All right, let's go back to verse 14. Verse 14. No, let's go back. I just, something else has caught my eye here. Verse 13. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. That tells us something about the blessing, doesn't it? That a blessed person, a blessed people, is a multiplying people, and a people that are experiencing increase in their life. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock in the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. Man, I feel sorry for folks that hate you. I pity the fool. Notice the Lord says again that in blessing you, he's going to take sickness and all disease away from you. So when the blessing comes, sickness and disease goes. And we know that sickness and disease is demonic oppression. Acts chapter 10 tells us that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. So he tells you right there, and of course we see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, read the gospel, Jesus went around healing physical bodies, didn't he? Well, that's what Peter was saying over in Acts chapter 10, that he went around doing good and healing people's bodies, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So it's letting us know right there that sickness and disease is demonic oppression. It's a work of the devil. And so to be blessed is to be absent of sickness and disease. When the blessing comes, sickness and disease goes, which means demonic oppression goes. The works of the devil go. The devil can't operate where the blessing is. And God wants to bless your life. He wants you blessed coming in, blessed going out. He wants his people, those that put their trust in him and believe in him, to be blessed above all the people on the face of the earth. So regardless of what you're used to seeing in the world and going on in other people's lives, I got news for you. It can be very, very different. You're not to be normal. You're not to be normal. You're to be blessed. You're to be blessed with a blessing that removes all demonic oppression from your life. Sounds good, doesn't it? That's the way it's supposed to be. We're to be blessed in our life, every area of our life, our bodies blessed, free of all sickness and disease. God's blessing is on the work of our hands. God's blessing is upon our homes. So things are fruitful and increasing, and we're doing better and better and better. That is the blessed life. And we need to know about it so we can believe in it. Because Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we're hearing the word of God concerning the blessing, faith is coming for us to fully expect it in our life. We're not going to accept any curses in our life because we're too blessed to be cursed. Where the blessing is, the curse cannot be. So we're not going to let the devil deceive us and try to convince us that we're not what God says we are. Blessed. Blessed. The word blessed in the Hebrew language, when you look it up, study it out, it means to be endued with power for success, prosperity, fruitfulness, richness, productiveness, longevity. To be possessed with power for abundant and effective living. Don't that sound good? I'm going to read it again. To be blessed is to be endued with power for success. Successful in every area of life. Winning in life. Not failing in life. Not falling apart. Not being defeated in life. Succeeding. Success. When you're blessed, you're empowered for success, prosperity, fruitfulness, richness, productiveness, longevity. It means to be possessed with power for abundant and effective living. Didn't Jesus come to say, I've come to give them life and that more abundantly? He came to bring the blessing upon our lives. Under the old covenant, it was limited to the Jewish nation, Jewish people. But now through Jesus Christ, the blessing is for all who would believe all the time. All the time. We can be blessed all the time. That's what it means to be blessed. And of course, this blessing can be conferred upon others. In other words, to confer is to give through speaking to someone else. It's primarily through speaking. You can confer this blessing on other people. So to bless other people is to endue them with power for success, prosperity, fruitfulness, richness, productiveness, longevity, and abundant and effective living. We got the power to bless. You know, Jesus, what an awesome example. I'm thinking of the time over there recorded in Mark, the 11th chapter, where Jesus came upon a fig tree. He was hungry. He actually went out of his way to go to this fig tree to see if perhaps there was some figs on the tree because it was covered with leaves. And he went to see, and there was no figs on the tree. And so Jesus looked at the tree and said, he spoke something. He said, let no fruit grow on you ever again. And his disciples were standing there, and they heard him say this. And then they went on their way. They went into Jerusalem, and he ministered. Things happened. They went back to the Mount of Olives, spent the night there. The next morning, they were headed back into Jerusalem, and Jesus had them take the path that led them by that fig tree that he had cursed the day before. And walking by the fig tree, the disciples looked and said, "Lord, the fig tree which you cursed has withered from the roots." And Jesus said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whosoever would say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says." So Jesus, he was hungry. He was looking for some figs. Well, there's no figs on the fig tree, so he decided that he was just going to go ahead and teach faith. And he set himself up the day before by speaking fruitlessness to this tree. "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." And by the next day, it had withered up from the roots. He probably didn't see anything immediately, but it started in the roots. The roots immediately were cut off, and that tree was dead at the roots, died right there. The next day, then they can see all the leaves, everything's wilted. And they can see this tree's withering up. It's withering up. All because Jesus spoke to it. You say, "Yeah, but that was Jesus." Yeah, but then Jesus said something to us. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And he said, "For you shall say," if you believe, you shall say, not just to a fig tree, but you'll say to this mountain, "Be removed." Not just the fig tree, but the mountain, "Be removed and be cast in the sea." See, in other words, it was a lesson in faith for them, showing them this was something now through him they would be able to do. And if they would be able to do it through faith, you and I can do these things by faith. The Bible declares life and death is in the power of the tongue. Life and death. And God has given us the power to speak life, to speak blessing wherever you want the blessing. But we can also speak things, we can also speak curses that can cause just the opposite to happen. And I think, unfortunately, that's where a lot of Christians have been. They have believed the devil's lie, and they've been speaking curses over themselves. Think about it. All Jesus said was, he didn't say, "I curse you. I command you." He didn't do it. He just said, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." And he believed he had what he said. Right? How many times do people walk around and consistently speak over themselves in a negative way, speak over their family in a negative way, speak over their life in a negative way? What are they doing? They're cursing themselves. They're speaking things that are negative, and it's producing more negativity. It's producing fruitlessness in their life. Things are withering. Things are struggling. And people's mouths are full of it, talking about the struggles, talking about the problems, talking, they're going to, and I don't see any way out of this. Good. You know what you just did? You just put a big fat veil over your eyes by saying, "I don't see any way out of this. Let no fruit grow on you ever again. I don't see any way out of this. It's never going to change. They're never going to change. They're never going to be any different. It's never going to get any better. I hate this job. I don't get what I'm supposed to get." That's exactly what you get. You get exactly what you said. You're just going to get more of what you're saying. See, because we don't understand the power of the tongue. How we have the power of life and death, and we can change things. I said we can change things in our world. Now, Jesus, he didn't have to fix anything in his life. He didn't have to undo things and relearn things. So when he said something, he had it. You saw it. Within 24 hours, we see it happening. Happening quick. But when you've spent most of your time saying, we're going under. It isn't going to work out. I don't understand. I can't figure it out. Why is this always happening to me? I don't understand. Everything's taking so long. And we keep talking. And then we get a revelation. Wait a second. I'm shooting myself in my foot with my mouth. I'm shooting my mouth off, and it's shooting me in the foot. I'm defeating myself. Oh, I got to make a change. And then we start turning the ship around, right? We start turning the ship around. And it's a big ship. It's a big ship. It's been being built by your words for a long time, right? And now we got to turn this big ship around. And sometimes that isn't so fast. It's not like a little jet ski. You just flip around. You just flip a little jet ski around. But a ship, it's like, you got to work it. So guess what? That we got to be consistent with our words. Consistent and stick with it and stay with it. No, it's going to be exact way God said it's going to be. We're going over, not going under. I walk by faith, not by sight. I'm blessed coming in, blessed going out. Nope. Too blessed to be cursed. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. And we stay on it and we hold the course. And finally, bless God, that ship gets turned around. And then we start seeing changes happening in our life. But if people don't see those changes fast enough, I don't know, I've tried that. I've tried speaking right. It didn't do a thing for me. Right? And they just keep setting themselves right back in there. Keep cursing themselves. Keep cursing themselves. Keep causing their fig trees to wither. Time to get this thing turned around once and for all. Right? That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we are to renew our minds with the Word of God. Get our minds in line with the Scriptures, with what God says, and then speak accordingly. God wants me blessed. Now, there's no doubt about that. We can't go through a trial and start questioning whether or not God wants us blessed or not, or maybe this is His way of blessing us by setting some kind of plague against us. It's God working in disguise through a curse to bless me. Now, see, people got it all messed up. They're accepting curses and lies and deceit from the enemy. We got to rise up and recognize, no, God loves me, and His will for me is to be blessed. And that blessing is released primarily through words. Through our words, through what we say. What we do is very important too. But what we say goes before what we do. A lot of times people they're struggling doing the right thing because they're saying all the wrong things. The tongue is the rudder, all right? The rudder to your legs, the rudder to what you're going to do. So don't keep sitting here saying, I can never lose weight, but I'm going to go on a diet. I can never lose weight, but I'm going to go on a diet. Well, you ain't going to go very far. You've already spoken defeat over here before you even got started. Right? Right in the middle of a diet. Bless God. They're fasting. They're restraining themselves. They're not eating certain things. And then their mouth starts going, oh, it looks so good. It's so delicious looking. I can hardly stand it. If I could just have a piece of cake. I haven't had cake for 2 weeks. And I am really I really would love to have a piece of cake, right? Quiet. You're ruining it. You understand what I'm saying? People are undermining themselves. Their actions, they're trying to do something, but if their tongue keeps going the wrong way, eventually what's going to happen? Your actions are going to follow your words. So actions are important, but even more than that are your words. What are you saying? Whatever you want, you've got to start saying it. You've got to start speaking it. And then you speak it as you're walking it out. You continue to speak the right thing. You continue. Words are like laying track. When you're speaking, it's like laying track down for the train, which is going to determine where you're going to go, how far you're going to go. A lot of people don't have a whole lot of track, They don't say much positive things. They say a few positive things. They get on the track, and next thing you know, they're off the track. They're derailed. The whole thing's derailed. Got to keep laying track, keep laying track, keep laying track, keep laying track. Before Jesus came, he had the whole Old Testament. He had prophets declaring his coming. The words were being spoken. Track was being laid. And right before he showed up, he's got John the Baptist out there talking about him, speaking about what he's going to come, what he's going to accomplish. He has track being laid down before him. Then when he comes into the world, he's speaking who he is and why he's here and the mission he's on and what he's going to accomplish. And he's speaking the end from the beginning all the way through his life. He's declaring where he's going and what he's going to accomplish. But we get lazy lips when it comes to God. But we got fervent lips, very fervent lips when it comes to the flesh many times. That needs to change. We got to get that turned around and say, I got fervent lips for faith. Fervent lips of faith. I got fervent lips of faith. That's right. My lips get lazy when it comes to the flesh. I don't want to speak negative things. It's harder to speak negative things than it is positive things. Now, that's not so for the world, but that's how it is for us. We love talking positive things. The world's always looking for a negative thing. You know, people get so excited when something negative says, "What happened? What happened? I really shouldn't tell you." And it spreads. It's like electricity through water. It goes everywhere. Negative talk. That's how it is in the world. People feed on it, but not in the church. Not in us. No, 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 no. Praise God. That's how the word works. We get a word from heaven. Oh, what did he say? What did you get? Let me show you my notes. Let me tell you the revelation I got. I don't know if you heard what I heard when we were sitting in church today, but and it just goes like electricity through water. It just spreads through the body of Christ. Electrifies us. Wakes us up, energizes us, and we're a fired up, revived, full of the life of God, Holy Ghost Church. It's flowing. It's going everywhere. We can't stop talking about the things of God. Just can't stop praising his name. Hallelujah. Speaking and shouting and declaring the truth. And we'll see the blessing increase in our life. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. If you didn't believe any of my definitions, that's okay. We'll just go to the scriptures. We'll go to Proverbs chapter 10 then. Say, I don't know. Is that really the definition? Well, look what the Bible says about the Bible. About the blessing. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. I like that. In other words, you're not getting ahead and getting rich because you're overworking and burning yourself out and ruining your life. Ruining your health and everything else, you know. Yeah, we finally got some money where we can enjoy life. Of course, I'm really sickly now because I work day and night to bring it all to pass with my hard work. No, thank God, it's the blessing. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Does it say that? Does it? I mean, does it say that, or am I just making something up? It says that, right? The New International Version says it this way. The blessing of the Lord. That's what we're talking about this morning. It really caught my attention last week when we hit that blessing part and how the blessing is the absence of sickness and disease. It drives out sickness and disease. Sickness and disease cannot be in the blessing, in an atmosphere full of the blessing. It can't be there. It can't be there. And here it says the blessing of the Lord brings wealth into that atmosphere. It brings wealth. Now, sickness, he said, I'll take sickness and disease away from you. And the blessing what? Bring wealth. Brings wealth and adds no trouble to it. Now, that's an area we need to build our faith to. And I could just see myself soon just going off on that. Going off on our redemption and how Christ has redeemed us from the curse of poverty and lack. Something we got to get a hold of. That's why people are overworking. Because they don't have faith in the blessing.
That's why people don't tithe and give, and they're stingy and they hold back and they won't step out and do what God tells them to do, and they won't follow God's direction for their life because of lack. They lack money, but what they actually lack is faith in the blessing. You don't really lack money, you just lack faith in the blessing. And when you understand that, you'll change that. You'll make it so that you no longer have lack of faith in the blessing. Somebody says, we got to do something to get more money in here. No, you need to do something to get more faith in the blessing. Because the blessing does it, doesn't it? See, people will run, they'll climb every mountain, every hill, go down in every valley. They'll do everything in the flesh that they can do to save themselves from sickness and disease and to cause themselves to be able to be fruitful in life, to cause themselves to be prosperous, cause themselves to have enough money, to have nice things. They'll do everything they can in the flesh to make it happen. And it's so sad because at the same time, so many folks, they'll hardly do anything to do what it really takes to have those things. And that's spend time with Him in the Word, meditating on these truths until they've got faith in the blessing of God that's unshakable. I've been thinking about it all week. Ever since I was up here last week, and it just hit me, man, blessed is no sickness and disease. And then I said, be blessed. I mean, that rose up. That was inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I spoke the blessing, just released it by the Holy Spirit. It's just been stirring in me all week. And it's working. It's working. It's working like never before. I'm seeing it like never before. How many people know we can see things, but then really see things? I'm talking about the same thing. You see it, but then you see it. And then you see it. You know, it's like you see deeper into it, right? And you can just see more and more and more of these spiritual truths. You can grow in it. Your faith can grow in these things more and more and more and more. So we're seeing it. Are you seeing it this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. I saw it. I mean, I knew this, but I did know this. Now I know it more than I knew it. Because I see it like I've never seen it. And I'm excited about saying it and talking about it today because I know that after today, I'm going to see it even more. Because we're talking about it, we're thinking about it, we're meditating on it. And then we got to exercise it. Exercise the blessing in our life. And expect that when we speak the blessing, sickness and disease goes. Lack goes. Every kind of demonic, oppressive thing goes. Every work of the devil that would be arrayed against us goes. Any work of the devil that would be arrayed against us is laughable. In the face of the blessing. In the face of the blessing. Every work of the devil just is laughable. Has no place. 1 Samuel chapter 26. Verse 25. This is King Saul has been pursuing David. Because he knows David is going to be king. It's been prophesied. And Saul can see something on David's life. That causes him to know that if he doesn't kill David and stop David, David is going to take his throne. See, he was very afraid of David. Even though David honored the king, it wouldn't do anything to hurt him. He was there to be a blessing to him, to help him. But Saul was jealous. Saul had a troubling spirit, demons that were driving him. And so after this encounter with David, Saul said these words, 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 25. Then Saul said to David, may you be blessed, my son David. You shall both do great things and also still prevail. So David went on his way and Saul returned to his place. Notice that. Sounds like the blessing, doesn't it? He says to him, and they understood the power of the blessing back then, like we need to understand it today. A lot of these folks had an understanding of the blessing. We see that in the Word. A lot of the patriarchs, they had tremendous faith in the blessing. And so he said, may you be blessed, my son David. You shall both do great things and also still prevail. That's exactly what happens to a person that's blessed. They do great things and they prevail. They prevail. They overcome. They conquer. Right? They win.
Somebody shout, I'm blessed. What does that mean? You're going to do great things. Somebody say, I do great things. And I prevail. Don't you love that? The HCSB translation. HCSB. Homeland Security something. I don't know. Saul said to him, you are blessed, my son David. You will certainly do great things and will also prevail. Notice that. You're blessed and you will certainly do great things and will also prevail. The CEB translation. Then Saul said to David, bless you, David, my son. You will accomplish much and will certainly succeed. Certainly succeed. You can't fail with the blessing. See, the blessing is something very real. The CJB translation says, blessings on you, my son David. No question that you will accomplish everything you set out to do. And how many people know that's true with him? He was blessed. David was blessed. And everything he set out to do, he succeeded. Every battle that he entered into, he succeeded. He prevailed. He won. Every battle. Didn't matter what was against him in the fight. He won. He defeated his enemies because he was blessed. He was blessed. The CEV translation. I pray that the Lord will bless you and make you successful. Well, that's what we can do with conferring the blessing on others. We bless people to make them successful, which means you got to watch who you bless. Got to watch who you bless. There's people that you shouldn't be blessing. People that have an anti-Christ agenda. People that are against Christianity, some of the basic principles of the Word of God. You don't need to be blessing them. You don't need to be blessing them. Because what you're doing is you're empowering them to be successful at what they're doing. And if what they're doing is against Christ, is against everything that we believe, our Christian values, if it's against that, then you don't bless them. There's actually a scripture, and I don't know exactly where it is right now, but I put it in my book, How to Pray for the Governing Authorities. And there's a scripture there that talks about that you should not bless the enemies of Israel. Anyone that is an enemy of Israel, that is against Israel, you don't bless them. The Bible says do not do that. See, we got to watch because people throw the word blessing around. The Lord bless you, be blessed. Bless you, God bless you. And they just say it without any real faith behind it. It's just like a greeting, a salutation. Just merely a form. But it doesn't have any true power. We gotta reclaim the power of the blessing. We gotta take it back because it's just been made into a form. A salutation, a greeting. We gotta change that. And recognize that who we bless is blessed. And who we curse is cursed. And there are some fig trees that need cursing. Now, I hesitate to say that because people run off and curse a lot faster than they'll bless. You give them permission. Not you guys, but people. They'll run off and they'll be quick to curse. We don't want to be hasty with cursing by speaking defeat. But there are times to speak defeat to certain things that are trying to defeat the cause of Christ. You got to learn to speak to that. Speak to that, whatever that is, that's trying to stand against the things of the Lord. You can bring those things down and those things can cease being fruitful. And they could wither away. Pretty heavy, isn't it? It's powerful. Now, of course, a bunch of great examples of the blessing. But back over in Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27, Isaac was going to bless his older son Esau, but then Jacob, Esau's twin brother, who was just a little bit younger, Esau had come out first when they were born. Jacob came out second. So Esau was made the older son and was the one that was going to get the birthright, the father's birthright, the family birthright, and the blessing. The blessing. Everybody say the blessing. The blessing's a big deal. It's a big deal. And we see how much of a big deal it is right here in Genesis chapter 27, where Jacob had snuck in there and disguised himself as Esau. He put on Esau's clothes. Isaac could not see very well at this point. And Jacob comes in there, and he pretends to be Esau, and he wants this blessing from his father. And it says in verse, let's see, chapter 27, and in verse 27. And he came near, that's Jacob, or Isaac, he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. Then it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob. And again, just you can hear all the beautiful, bountiful, fruitful things in that blessing, can't you? Wow. Then it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game that your soul may bless me. He's excited about getting blessed today. See, it means something to him. It's not like, oh, Dad. Oh, come on. Son, I want to bless you. Can we do it later? I got this video game I want to play. I got this other thing I want to do. Man, they understood the blessing. Daddy said, I'm going to bless you today. Oh, you're going to bless me today? I'm going to bless you. I'm going to speak the blessing over you today. Oh, now go catch some food and cook it up, make it nice like I like it. Get me in a good mood. Make me feel nice, and I'm going to bless you. He understood the flesh. The flesh will fight you from speaking blessings over your life. When you feel fleshy and you feel tired and you just don't seem to have it, many times that's when people talk the most. Their mouth just starts going and they talk negative, 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 negative. So, you know, Isaac recognized, you know, he wanted to eat what really, you know, makes him feel good. He wanted to get in that place where he could speak the blessing without his soul hindering him. So Esau says, you know, bless me. 32. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? And he said, I'm your son, your firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. I have blessed him. He's blessed. It's like a real substance. It's like he really gave something. Even though all we see is words, right? It's just words. He gave something. He gave it away. He gave it to somebody else. It was transferred. There was a real transfer that took place when Isaac blessed Jacob by faith. It was a real transfer, and he believed it. He understood that. That's why it worked for him.
He said, I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. He took it. This blessing that I blessed him with, I can't give it to you because I've already given it to him. He already has this blessing now on his life. He has been authorized and empowered to rule over you, to rule over everything that I have. And even though he lied and he cheated and all these things, I still gave it to him. It's his, and I can't nullify it. Wow, that's faith in your words. I said, that's faith in your words. It's kind of like the fig tree withered, you know. Lord, cause the fig tree to bear fruits. I can't. I've already cursed it. It's already done. Verse 36, and Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac, we got to get hungry for the blessing. We got to get excited about our words. Get excited about words that bless, that have creative power in them. Creative power. That's what's in these words. Isaac answered and said, he understood his whole destiny, his whole future was hinging on this blessing. He understood that. We got to understand that. That our future is contingent upon the blessing of God, whether we're going to have it in our life or not. And Isaac answered and said to Esau, indeed, I have made him your master. And all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. He just keeps weeping. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. He starts out just like he did with Jacob. By your sword you shall live. It's a little rougher of a life there. You shall serve your brother, and it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. Somebody say, the blessing is serious business. The blessing is serious business. What we say over ourselves is very important. Not just what other people say. What other people say is important. You know, people speak this. If I'm aware of it, or I have like a little inkling or even a thought that somebody is speaking death over me, speaking curses over me, speaking negativity over me, I pity them. Because I'm too blessed to be cursed. And I speak that over myself. I'm too blessed to be cursed. But those who bless me, they're blessed. Those who curse me are cursed. Isn't that what the Bible says? I believe that. I receive that for my life. So there's been times that I've had to nullify words that have been spoken. That's where, you know, the prophecy of Isaiah comes in, where he says, no weapon formed against you will prosper because of the blessing. No weapon formed against you will prosper. See, you're too blessed to be cursed. No weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. See, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. See, we have something so much better than they had under the old covenant. They understood these things because, you know, here, Isaac was able to do what he did here because he was a prophet of God. But you and I today can do this because all of us have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, he is the blessing.
He is the blessing. Now, the people that we see that had the blessing under the old covenant, they had it good, but they could have had it even better. Again, it's how we talk, how we believe, how we maintain that awareness of the blessing of God. We don't want to just be like Isaac, where we just get in a blessing mood. Light the candle, cook the food, get the music just right, get in the mood for the blessing. We want to get in that place where we're ready, in season, out of season. We're walking in a continuous awareness of him, because we're not relying upon a one-time anointing, prophet's anointing. We have the abiding presence of God now available to us 24/7 because of the new birth, because we are born again. We have access to the blessing all the time. Notice here in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Who's that for? That's all of us, man. That's available to all of us. That's just not one or two of us. He's redeemed us, all of us, from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus became a curse for you and me. Why? Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice that. The blessing of Abraham and the promise of the Spirit. Talking about the Spirit of God. He is the power behind the blessing. And so Christ, he took the curse for us so that you and I could have the blessing of Abraham. Now, Abraham passed that on to his son Isaac, and we just read how Isaac was passing that on to Jacob. They took it very serious. That same blessing, friend, is for you and I. In fact, hold your place. I'll take you back to Genesis chapter 12 real quickly. This is when God spoke and blessed Abraham. Verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. See, there he is again. See the blessing making you great. You will do great and also prevail. You see the pattern? It's what it does to you. The blessing does these things to you. You'll do great things. And you'll prevail. You'll be great. You'll multiply. You'll be a great nation. Be increased. I will make your name great. How many people know Jesus had a great name? Huh? Name above every name. But you know, Jesus had a great name. There's no great name greater than that. But I'm reminded of over in the book of Acts, where there was these Jewish exorcists that wanted to cast a devil out of somebody. And so they went in there, and they had been seeing what Paul was doing. Paul was casting demons out, and people getting healed and delivered, right? And so these guys, this group of exorcist guys, went in there, and they said to the demon inside this man, we adjure you by this Jesus whom Paul preaches to come out. And the demon spoke up inside the possessed man. And he said this. He said, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? And then the man who had the demons leaped on them and started beating them all up so bad that they ran out of the house wounded and naked. Devil stripped their clothes off and beat them up. Just humiliated them. But notice that what the demon said. Jesus we know, yes, and Paul we know. Isn't that powerful? Paul we know. They knew Paul. Paul was blessed. Paul walked in the authority and the power of the blessing that comes through the name of Jesus. Amen. And they knew him.
They knew him. And the devil knows Life of Faith Bible Church. And now, today, we're learning about the blessing. We're learning about the blessing. And don't think the devil's not really upset about this. But too bad. Can't stop us now. Can you say amen? I will make your name great. How many know Paul had a great name? I mean, he was known in hell. The demons knew him. And the demons didn't know your name too. Got to make the devil pay if he comes by your house. Because the devil, you know, he's the source of the curse. He's the one behind every curse. He's the power behind the curse. So when he comes around and tries to curse you, who are blessed, cursed is he who curses you. Curses the devil that curses you. Big backlash. A lot of backlash is what we're talking about. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Some people know the church, the body of Christ, God's people should be affecting not just their own nation, but the whole world, man. The whole world should be feeling it. And the whole world will feel it when you and I understand it. When we understand this blessing of God. So now, this blessing that we just read about, awesome as it is, we come over to the New Testament, and he says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon not just the Jewish people that was passed down to Isaac and to Jacob and on and on and on, but it might come upon all the non-Jewish people. All the non-Jewish people who are in Christ Jesus. So friend, when you read Genesis chapter 12 and you see God bless Abraham with that blessing and you believe that God blessed Abraham with that blessing, then also believe that's exactly what he says to you. Wow. What he said to Abraham, he says to you. You got to take it personally. Abraham took it personally, and then no matter what happened in his life, he believed God. He believed God. And as a result, he saw God's work ultimately come to pass in his life, didn't he? It all came to pass in his life. In fact, in Genesis chapter 13, in verse 2, we saw God blessed him in chapter 12. Then in verse 13, chapter 13, verse 2, it says, Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. So God blessed him in chapter 12. And then in chapter 13, he was what? No, he wasn't rich. He was very rich. Very rich in livestock, in silver, and gold. It's not important. It's just the Bible. No, thank God. That's what God has for you and I. So that we can rise up and accomplish everything he's called us to do. And love doing it. Have joy doing it. Not be burned out doing it. Not struggle around trying to get enough to be able to make it happen. But we got more than enough. More than enough to do whatever he's called us to do. Man, there's folks out there with millions of dollars and they are bankrolling such wicked things. There was a guy I just heard on the news the other day. He's not going to support the Democratic Party anymore. Isn't that too bad? He's not going to support them anymore. And he was giving them thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars. I think it was like $400,000. And he had promised to give them $30 million. He was going to invest $30 million in the 2018 elections. Can you imagine this guy? $30 million he's going to invest in the 2018 election. You know, I don't think I'm going to do it anymore because they didn't do what I want. The church needs to have that money. We need to fund the church. We need to fund Jesus Christ. Right? So the gospel is spread. Yes, yes, yes. Take over this place. That's what we're supposed to do. Multiply and increase. And see the work of God expand and do great things throughout the entire earth. How's it going to happen? God's people are going to recognize they're blessed. They're blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed.
I got to give you this one more thing. We got to look at it. Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 16. 16. So that he who blesses himself in the earth. Are you in the earth? You're in the earth. This is talking about you now, not when you get to heaven. He who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten and because they are hidden from my eyes. How would you like all the former troubles and all the issues of the past to be hidden from God's eyes, your eyes, and completely forgotten? You're so blessed, you can't even recall the days when you seem to be otherwise. It's time now. Get the past behind you and be so blessed you can't even see that back there. That's so foggy and you're so detached from it. It's so not you now that you don't even relate to it. You just don't even go there. All you know is I'm blessed. I'm blessed. It's all forgotten. It's all behind me now. Oh, hallelujah. He who blesses himself. God wants you to bless thyself. He who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. Let me read this from the Amplified Classic translation. So it shall be that he who invokes a blessing on himself. He who invokes a blessing on himself in the land shall do so by saying, stop. He shall do so how? By saying. Man, it's time to invoke blessings on yourself. Make yourself flourish. Make yourself succeed. Make yourself prosperous. Make yourself healthy. Make yourself happy. Oh, hallelujah. You got to bless yourself. Get good and invoke the blessing on yourself. But don't bless yourself if it's just to live for yourself. It's all about love. It's all about love. It's not about selfishness. It's about living for the King, living for God, and fulfilling his purposes in our life. And if he wants you blessed, and if he wants you fruitful, and if he wants you increased, and if he wants you to have all these good things and enjoy abundant, effective living, huh? And bless God, that's what we're going to have. I said, that's what we're going to have. And we're not going to have anything less. Because anything less, anything short of that, is to me is a curse. And I'm not cursed. So we resist the curse, and we keep turning this thing towards the blessing, and we hold the course. Hallelujah. We're going to hold the course. And we're going to watch, bless the Lord God, how he just increases us, prospers us, and causes us to be such a blessing that the earth is feeling our impact. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.